Corinthians chapter 13. Anyone know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about? There you go. That's my main point tonight. You got it. And really, it's just one thing I want to say tonight, and that is, there you go. And this passage, as we just read it, it's so rich, but I think just there's something powerful about the reading of Scripture. And it comes in the context of a book about different parts of the body and spiritual gifts in the body being used. It comes after a rebuke to the messy Corinthian church for not coming to the communion table with love. And yet it comes too with this sort of soaring words that point us to, as the end of verse 12 says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Isn't that great? Do you want to know the most excellent way? Amen. Here we go. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am, what does it say?
Nothing.
Nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my bodies to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. What does it say after that? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So Lord, increase our love. Lord, please grow our love. Lord, please help us by your power to love as we come even tonight and reflect on your love. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Love. Love for each other in the church. This is a church in Corinth that Paul is saying, love one another. I think about this passage, and you can't help but thinking of weddings. It's written to a church, but you kind of think about weddings, don't you, when you read it, because it's so often read at weddings. And you know, one of the pictures that helps me in my trying to live this out and to encourage us to grow in love as a church is actually a picture I want to share from a couple who some of the older members of our congregation will remember. They're a couple called Les and Beryl. They're both now in glory. They used to do the marriage prep for people at Holland Road for many, many, many years. I remember once when they'd passed their 60th wedding anniversary, them sharing a bit on marriage. But there was a picture they used to use of marriage and of love, which was of two trees being planted next to one another. And these two trees representing two individuals in a couple, they spoke about how the roots become intertwined. And how the wind that blows on the trees causes the roots to go deeper and therefore the relationship to go stronger as the roots become more intertwined as the wind blows. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So here's the thing. Love is patient. Love is kind. As you show kindness in relationships, your love for each other grows, doesn't it? So love is patient. As you show patience with one another, your love grows. In fact, the first thing It says, love is patient. And this is a time for us as a church, this has been a time when we've sometimes had different perspectives on things, where we've thought, oh, is it this or is it that that you're leading us in, God? What are you saying? And actually, this has been a time where we've needed patience. It's been a time where we continue to say, God, help us grow in patience in your timing of things in your way. And love is patient. And I believe what God is doing through this time and has been doing has been growing our love for one another by growing our kind of spiritual muscles of love, like patience. I had a friend who I met up with recently. He'd heard all the things that had been going on for us as a church in recent months, and he had this word. He said, you know, when I heard it, I prayed for you, and the sense I had was that you would look back in 2 years and say, wow, do you remember that time and how God used it to bring us closer together, to grow in love? And I thought, yeah, Lord, that is something that you can do and you want to do, to use this time to grow us together in love. And that's just for one another in the church family here at Holland Road. But we know that this call to love is a call to love, you know, God's people across, not just one little group that meeted in one place there. It's written to the church in Corinth. And God has his heart for us to love our brothers and sisters across the city. One of the ways that we've been exploring doing that has been with Oasis, and it hasn't quite worked out as we thought, another congregation in the city. But we know that God is still calling us to love them and others, because we know that plainly through his word. So we want to pray, God, would you keep doing that? And, you know, as we seek to bless others and love them, you know what happens? They love us and bless us. Isn't that so often the way? One of the things that's happened since our last church meeting is that our dear brother, who was the pastor at Oasis, has died and gone to glory. And I remember at his funeral, just many powerful moments. And one of the things that struck me as I was preparing it was I was thinking back about Andrew. And I said this at the funeral. I said, Andrew really saw us as brothers and sisters across the city, as brothers and sisters in Christ from different churches. It was never just about Oasis and Holland Road for Andrew, but about rather a longing to see the city and the spirit shaping congregations in the city to have a greater sense of togetherness and greater coordination, to see the prayer of Jesus in John 17. You know, that prayer that we might be one as he is one. That prayer that actually many across our nation are praying today, because it's a prayer for a week of prayer for Christian unity in the nation. That prayer in John 17, that we may be one so that the world may believe that Jesus was sent by the Father. And I said at the funeral, I said it hasn't been an easy journey. It hasn't, has it? And it hasn't turned out, I said, how Andrew and I thought it might. And I'm so humbled and thankful for the graciousness of Isabel, his wife, and Oasis, and the way they have responded in love. And I'm confident that God's plans are not our plans, they're better plans. Amen? They're better plans. His ways are not our ways. They are far better. And Jesus' prayer in John 17 is a prayer that he will see worked out. And we know that that's something in his heart and the Father's heart. And how he wants to do that, we keep saying, God, will you keep showing us? So we go on trusting, as Andrew would want us to, as I want us to, that God's going to do something in our city. I believe he has been doing something through all this process. I believe he was doing something even in that funeral service at the beginning of January. And we were meeting a few of us who have a heart for Hangleton area this afternoon. And we were expressing something of that. And Andrew said to me before he died, and I shared this at the funeral, he said, stay close to Jesus and be ready for his return. Stay close to Jesus and be ready for his return. And there's something of that in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, now we see in part, then we will see fully. Face to face, there is a moment coming when either we will go to be with him or he will come to be with us. And let's live in the light of that. Let's stay close to him and be ready for his return. And to do that, we have to not just love one another in the church, not just love our brothers and sisters across the city. We have to love the lost. Because when Jesus comes back, or when we go to be with him, the thing in those moments that we're going to feel most is, Lord, what about the others? We're going to have a longing for, wow, he's back. But we want, don't we, to take as many home with us as we want. We know that's why he's delaying his return. For the sake of the lost. And so we know that this love, this heart to be patient at persevering in prayer and reaching out. And it might be for a loved one that you're trying to reach out to and it's taking forever. Keep being patient. Keep being kind. Love, what does it say? Love delights in the truth. That's why we proclaim the truth that Jesus is the only way. That's why we're going to keep doing that, whether it's in the area in Hangleton, reaching out in mission there, or in other parts of the city through different missional communities. That's why our youth have been doing Youth Alpha, and why we're opening our doors to the homeless tonight to just show them the love of Christ, and why we're trying to do a holiday club for the kids, and why we're going to run Alpha in just a few days, sort of few weeks' time. To proclaim the name of Jesus, because we want to love lost people so that they would come to be found people. Amen? And we can't do that. We can't love each other. We can't love our brothers and sisters across the city. We can't love the lost unless we know we are loved. Unless we, as one of my favorite writers, Amy Carmichael, says, unless we let love flow in, and then love will flow out. And tonight, we come to a communion table to remember God's love. To remember the one who is himself love. God is love, the Apostle John writes. In fact, you could say that Jesus as God incarnate is written about here. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. You can see it here. He went to the cross. He is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Hallelujah. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He always protects. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then I love this. Jesus never fails. Amen? Jesus never fails. So let's come to him in this moment. You might just want to be still and prepare as we come to break bread and drink the cup, these symbols of God's love. Let love flow in, that love will flow out. And God's love is deeper than you've ever realized. It's more to plummet. If you need more love for others, go deeper in God's love for yourself.